lofty of expectations here, but I'll try to do my best. So some of you guys know that I am the son of a restaurant owner. My dad has owned a restaurant for many years, and actually before my dad owned it, my grandpa owned it. So it's been in the family for a very long time. I think any business owner wants to see their hard work be given to a family member so it doesn't get wasted, right? So, of course, there's this pressure to keep everything in the family, to pass things from generation to generation. And sometimes I look at my dad and I'm like, no. restaurant work is very hard. You spend a lot of countless hours there. Anything that goes wrong, you have to fix it. There's no one else to point the finger to. For myself, I work at the Judicial Council, which is for the government. I work for the state. And it's really easy for us to just point the finger at someone else and say, you take care of it if something goes wrong. When you're a restaurant owner, I can't do that. And it's not like I can blame my dad because he'll get mad at me, right? So it's fairly difficult. But it is something that is thought about, right? What do I do with all these things that I've done in my life? Who do I pass it to when I pass away? If I pass, well, not if, but when, right? So this next parable, we're going to continue on the parables here. And I'm going to read from Luke chapter 2, verses 13 to 21, if we can bring it up. It's also in your bulletins or if you have your Bible with you. And it says this, someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly. And he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns, and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared for, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." I'm getting to this age where my parents and my in-laws are doing this thing called estate planning, and they're figuring out where or what will happen to all these things that they own once they pass away. And it's an age I thought I'd never get to. I thought I'd just live to 18 and then somehow just go away mysteriously. So this is kind of a new thing. It's kind of weird to hear my parents talk about these things, because I thought that they would always be with me. And to think this far ahead, it's a little eerie to me. I don't know what to do. I've thought about it before. What if my dad's not here? And then I think, oh no, what's going to happen to the restaurant? I don't want it. And then I think all these other things. And it is a little scary to start thinking about these things for my wife and her family as well. And you just don't really know what's going to happen. And a lot of questions do come up. And my dad always says to me about the restaurant, he says, "The restaurant is great," right? Trying to encourage me. And he said, it's this money tree that you just make money, but you still, with any plant, you still have to water it. It still needs to grow. And you still need to shake the tree so the money comes down so you can collect it. But he's like, when I pass away, I can't take it with me to heaven. When I pass away, I can't take it with me wherever I go. My work and what has been in your life for so long, it'd be sad to see go away. And he had a point, which is kind of scary. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 18, it says this, 18 through 21. It says, I hated all my toil in which I had toiled under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to those who come after me. And who knows whether they will be wise or foolish, yet they will be master of all for which I toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This also is vanity. So I turned and gave my heart up to despair concerning all the toil of my labors under the sun. Because sometimes one who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave all to be enjoyed by another who did not toil for this. This also is vanity and a great evil. My dad knows I did not work very hard at that restaurant. When we were growing up, we would cater to different places, and I would be the designated rice scooper. We would make like 1,000 lunch boxes, and my job was just to scoop the rice and put it in these lunch boxes. And that was the easiest job, and I still complained. I would get all this rice on my fingers. I would eat it as I would be scooping, hoping that, you know, no one else got sick. And, you know, those are just some of the things you do as a kid, right? You see something good in front of you, you're just like, I'm going to eat some and scoop at the same time. But, I mean, my dad always gets on me because he's like, you know, you don't really know what hard work is. And I see how hard he works, and I'm like, it's okay, I don't really want to know what hard work is. When my grandpa, when he was getting up to an age where he couldn't work any longer, he was trying to decide where the restaurant was going to go. My dad, bless his heart, has 11 other brothers and sisters. And for my grandpa, the rightful thing to do would be to pass this restaurant to the son who was in the restaurant the longest and who was managing it. Unfortunately, that my uncle and my dad's brother, he also didn't work very hard. And there was a big fear that things would fall apart and the restaurant would be lost. So my dad said, you know, I would be willing to take over the restaurant with my background. My dad comes from a big background where he worked at like Yang Sing and these high-class restaurants in Hong Kong. And my dad was like, you know, I'll take it over. My grandpa, thinking, racking his brain, was like, this isn't going to be fair for the rest of your brothers and sisters if I just gave it to you. How about you buy it from me and make it a little more fair? And so they dealt with this by themselves. But it's tough, you know. You're thinking in your head, I've worked all these years. For myself, with my first job, I worked so hard to buy the first PlayStation. And my parents looked at me and said, you need to share it with your brother. And I said, mm-mm. I worked so hard for this. I have one controller, and there's a reason for that. I've bought all my games by myself, and I've worked weekends. I've saved up. There were many Chow Mein I didn't buy because I wanted this PlayStation so much. And for that, you know, I knew if I just let my brother play with it, he would not know and appreciate this PlayStation as much as I did. And with this passage, it just really hits me hard because I really connect with it. You know, what and where are all these things going to go after you toiled with it or toiled for it? You've worked so hard for all these things, and where is it going to go? That's where the face of this passage is, right? Everyone just kind of glares at this point. But there's other areas of this passage that speaks about what Jesus is trying to teach everybody. First, we look at the man, and the man himself, it looks like he's a pretty prudent person, and I guess by any means, he'd be pretty wise, right? He worked hard, and he saved, and he worked so hard that his crops were abundant. It was so abundant, he didn't even know what to do with it. He actually tore down a barn to make a bigger one, okay? But he did that to save even more. And then he actually talks to himself. And he says, I will say to my soul in verse 19, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. And at the very beginning of this passage, Jesus says, hey, let me tell you a story about greed. Jesus is saying that this guy is greedy for thinking like this. Recently, I had the opportunity to take a cruise. This is my second cruise experience, but this was for 10 days. And I don't know if you guys have ever gone on a cruise. When they tell you about it, it's awesome, right? You go on a boat, and it's all you can eat everything, 24 hours a day. And going into this, I'm like, this is awesome, right? I can just eat. It's not just like eat. I can eat whatever I want, however much I want, right? And I don't have to think about paying anything because I've already paid for it, right? So, 3-4 days, it's awesome. We went on Princess Cruise, and every night we would go into this dining room, and I guess for cruise standards, it's gourmet, right? You can choose however, there's a menu. There's like 20 things on this menu, and you can choose as many of them as you want. So I'm like, well, I'm going to make myself a 7-course meal. So I'm picking like 2 appetizers, 3 entrees, maybe 2 desserts. And they're not small portions. They're fairly large portions. And so these plates start coming out, and we're at a big table of 6. And there's nowhere to put all these plates, because these plates are fairly large. So I'm stuffing my face as quickly as I can. I put some on my wife's plate, and they're like, hey, it's a cruise. It's all you can eat. You don't got to finish it. And so my mind blows, and I'm like, okay, all right. So I start eating some more meat and whatever I like. I push the veggies to the side. I don't want this anymore. Please take it away. Make room for everything else I want. Through maybe the 5th day, I start slowing down. And it starts to hurt. Like, physically, I start to hurt. And, my 7-course meals become 4-course meals and 3-course meals. And it slowly dies down until just, I'll have a plate, please. And, you have to work out for an hour before dinner. And then after dinner, you work out for another hour, just, so you feel okay again. But then the funny thing is, because it's all you can eat after you work out for that hour, maybe at about 9 o'clock, you're like, hey, I wonder what's going on upstairs. Let me go see. So after dinner, we go upstairs to another buffet because we're curious to see what they have. And we look around, and my wife's like, ooh, they have crab cakes today. So we grab some, like, 5, 6, 7 crab cakes per person. And we're like, this is great, right? It's a cruise. We can do whatever we want. But to be honest, like, I couldn't sustain that pace the whole entire 10 days. By the end of the 10 days, I was like, yay, I get to go home and eat salad. And I get to, like, just, detox a little bit. So when this guy says, eat, drink, be merry. Like, no, that is not happy times. This guy had to tear down a smaller barn to build an even larger barn to store even more food. And he's saying, I don't have to work anymore. I can just eat and eat and eat and be happy. Folks, that is not happiness, let me tell you. From my cruise experience, that is, for the first 3 days, it's happy, but after that, it's not really that enjoyable. Maybe I have the wrong mentality. I don't know. But Jesus says that this is greed because he's filling all these carnal pleasures. It's filling these physical aspects of his life, and he didn't do anything else. All he's thinking about is himself. Looking deeper into this story, yeah, this man was honest, and he's been working for many years, and a lot of people look at this as retirement. hey, you've worked many years. You've saved up for a long time. Why don't you just go away and live off of what you've saved on, right? A lot of people, you know, they are creating this thing called a nest egg. And they're like, I have to save X amount of dollars so I don't need to work anymore. I don't need to work anymore because maybe physically I can't do it anymore. Maybe because I don't want to do it anymore. Working for the government, everybody thinks about this magical number, when I can retire, when I can gain my pension. I've worked and toiled so long in the government. I've put up with so much. And once I hit this magical number of 55 or 57, you guys are looking at me like, no, that's not retirement. But for a lot of people, they retire early so that they can do other things. But let me define what retirement is. I've looked it up, and it says one of the definitions is removal of something from service or use. And another is to withdraw, especially for privacy. This person in the story, they saved up, and it seemed like they were just going to escape their work and be removed from what they've been working on. But for a lot of the people that I've talked to who have retired, they look for something else to do. And they ask themselves, what have I been wanting to do for so long, but couldn't do because I didn't have the time? I worked for the city for about a year and a half, the city of San Francisco. And I helped people with their retirement paperwork and receive health insurance for it. And I met this one man. He was a firefighter. And he was looking to retire. I know some of you will cringe, but he was maybe about 40, 45, and he was going to retire. And I said, what are you going to do with the rest of your time? And he said, actually, I'm a pastor. I'm a pastor in the East Bay, and being a fireman was great. I was able to provide for my family, but I want to start my second career. I want to do something, and I want to serve. And for this gentleman, retirement meant something different to him. It wasn't being put away. It wasn't being secluded from people. But for him, retirement meant going out and serving people. I mean, being a fireman, yes, you serve people, right? But being a pastor, you serve people in a different way. And our meeting that was supposed to take 10 minutes turned into an hour just so I could just pick his brain and talk to him. And it was amazing. And these are some of the things that Jesus, in this parable, is trying to lead us towards. What, you know, have you done on earth that will carry with you into heaven? If all we do is look at these physical aspects of our life and build the physical things, build a house and buy a house. I've worked so hard for it. And, you know, I'm at this age where, you know, we're wanting to buy a house, and it's so expensive in San Francisco. And so you spend, you know, so long trying to pay it off, and when you finally do, it's amazing, right? But, you know, you spend all this time on earth trying to pay for a house and getting money to do this and do that, and after a while, it kind of consumes you. I'm living my life just to earn money, and we forget about these things that we can do for God. And Jesus is trying to remind us of that. This parable, I know that the story itself, it ends in verse 21, but actually Jesus goes a little bit further and explains. So in Luke chapter 12, verse 22 to 34, it says this. After the story, he says, he said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. And how much more value are you than the birds? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? If then you are not able to do so small a thing as that, why do you worry about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you? You have little faith. And do not keep striving for what you are to eat and what you are to drink. And do not keep worrying, for it is the nations of the world that strive after all these things. And your Father knows that you need them. Instead, strive for his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We went on this cruise because it was a family reunion of some sorts. For my wife's family, they had not taken a family vacation in a long time, and her siblings have young kids in elementary school, and we thought, where can we take a family vacation where everyone would be satisfied, everyone would be taken care of, and we did not have to worry about transportation because the family was so large, we'd have to rent multiple cars, hotel rooms, and then, you know, getting flights and things like that. It was just too complicated. So we're like, hey, let's all go onto a boat. We're all in one place, and we can all meet up if we want to, or we can all separate and do our own things. And that was the purpose of this cruise. To me, the purpose was to eat, right? But in terms of the people who were planning, they placed family and family time above everything else. Sometimes when we look at decision-making and we have a big decision, we do need to consider everything. For this man who was retiring in this story, the question that he asked himself was, what do I do now? And his answer was, physically, how can I live? Or what will I do physically to continue living? But I think what Jesus is pointing at is answering more questions than just that. When Jesus sums up this parable and tells everyone not to worry, he's saying, don't worry about these physical things when you're making decisions. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. Don't worry about the food you're going to eat. Those will be provided to you by God, right? Sometimes, especially in San Francisco, we worry about shelter, right? And that, too, is a physical thing. But God is saying, make your decisions on things that will be greater than the physical, things that will probably have, that will give you something in heaven, right? So I know for my last jobs, I had worked at Social Security for the federal government for 4 years, and I had come to a point where, looking around me, I was in a position, I was young compared to everybody else, and everybody else had been in their position for 20 years, and I thought to myself, I don't want to be in this one position for 20 years. I'm just starting out my career. I want to do something more. I want to do something greater. And when I looked around at the people who had these higher positions, they were all stressed out. They were just, you know, angry all the time. They worked 6 days a week. And I'm thinking, man, if I wanted to work 6 days a week, I could just work for my dad. I could work 6 days a week and, you know, have my own office if I wanted to. And I could do whatever I wanted in my office. But it just didn't satisfy me. And I thought, well, making money is great, but there are other things in my life that I want. And I want time with my wife. I want time to build a family. And if I had kids, I want enough time to be with them. I don't want to just send them off to a babysitter. I don't want to see someone else raise my kid. I want to raise my kid. And then I thought, well, what about church? I want to do these things. I want to play an instrument. I want to work with kids. I want to coach basketball. I want to do this. I want to do that. How can I accomplish these things if I work 6 days a week? And that was a big thing in my decision-making process when I was looking for a new job. Sometimes when we make these life-changing decisions, we do need to ask more questions, and we need to create or find out what our values are or our priorities. And in this verse, it says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And I think a lot of times, you know, these words might not really suit how you think. But really what the point is what are your values? Where are your priorities? Is family part of your values or priorities? Is spending time at church and serving, is that something you want to do? Being in the community and maybe volunteering, is that something you'd like to do? I think, you know, for American society, they say retirement, retirement, retirement. And my in-laws are retired. And, you know, what they do, they go on cruises a lot because they do have a lot of time. But I think a lot of people also ask, how can I serve? How can I still be used with all this time? So retirement doesn't mean that you're just, you know, laid to rest to do nothing. But also for us young ones, there is something to consider, too, in our decision-making processes. You know, what are our values? What are our priorities? Do I want to be generous? Do I want to love? And if those two things are big in my heart, how do I accomplish those things? How can I love? Is the picture in my head to serve others? Is that how I show love? Is love, you know, part of family, whether my children or, you know, my immediate family, or does it mean my church family and how I can love them or my friends? The Associate Justice Marino Florentino Seller of the California Supreme Court, I serve the Supreme Court as well as the other courts in the state of California, but this Associate Justice, or one of the judges, he was actually invited to Stanford just recently, Father's Day weekend, to make the commencement speech to Stanford University. This judge actually, he has a degree from both Harvard and Yale, and then he has his PhD from Stanford as well. And he worked as a professor at Stanford before serving on the Supreme Court. And in his commencement speech, he said this: being in public service has been the greatest privilege I've had. The reward isn't fame or personal gain, but it's a singular privilege to see how our civic architecture works, where it doesn't, and how, with learning, our own hands and an eye to nuance, we protect and adapt it. For him, he placed serving the masses as one of his priorities, as one of his values. That's what he's lived towards. And he knew from the very beginning it wasn't about him. It wasn't about himself in any way. And he didn't make this decision to make lots of money. I mean, judges do get paid well, but that was not part of his decision-making process. It was to serve the greater public. And then at the very end of his commencement speech, he said this to all the graduates: write a letter to their future selves that lists their values. And whenever you make a decision, make it based on those things. We have the opportunity to live with our hearts. And we hope that with God in our hearts, it creates godly things, right? And godly things will happen. when you make a decision based on love, when you make a decision based on someone other than yourself or other than the physical needs, God comes to life and breathes through it even more than if you make a decision for just yourself and your own physical needs. God is trying to stray us away from these greedy decisions and trying to expand how we think. And I hope that, you know, for some of us today who have these big decisions to make, I hope you do take the time to list your values and list your priorities. You know, is the person next to you part of those values? Is serving part of those values? And it could be serving in this church. It could be serving outside in the greater community. It could be serving somewhere else. And you could be paid for it, and maybe you're not paid for it. But I hope that you guys take the time to go through your list of values and priorities whenever you make these decisions. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for everything that you do. We thank you that you take care of us, even when we're not aware of it. We thank you that you love us, even though we don't deserve it. God, I thank you that you know each and one of us by name. And you know what we need. You know what we have in our future, and you know what we have now. And I pray that, God, we would honor you in our decision-making processes, that we would include you in those things. When we're thinking about looking for a new job, God, I pray that we would look to you for those answers, and we would first ask you, God, where do you fit in? Where are you in this? What are our values and what are our priorities? God, I pray that you would take care of all of our physical needs and that you would continue to provide for all of us. I pray for those in here who are worrying about where money is going to come from, where they're going to live. I pray that you would provide for them. I pray that you would give them peace and comfort. And God, I pray for some of us who are struggling with making decisions, God, I pray that you would give us wisdom and that you would open up our mind to understand how we can love you more in our decisions, how we can give you praise through our decisions. And that can be as small as where do I want to eat and whom do I want to eat with, to things that can, you know, alter our families, God. I pray that you would continue to guide us and give us confidence in these decisions, God. We love you. We thank you. In your name, Jesus. Amen.